Jagdish, you're on mute. Yeah, you can
Namaste,
start.
Friends. Welcome to our Sunday edition of Words of Wisdom Gyan Ganga on our social media channels of Virat Hindustan Sangam. Today we have a very interesting topic. Is the government takeover of the places of worship constitutional or legal? And we are, for the next 45 minutes, we'll be discussing with Dr. Subramaniam Swami this topic. As you all know, Dr. Swami has been in the forefront on this issue. He has been walking his talk and has filed numerous cases and has won in the Supreme Court and obtained a landmark judgment. Without going more in more details, it is Dr. Swami who will be telling you about the whole issue. It's over to Dr. Swami.
Thank you, Jagdish. This is a tough topic in the sense there are many ramifications which you should understand. First of all, the government takeover of a temple is in places of worship to begin with, only is a takeover of the Hindu temples. No Islamic, whatever Islamic institutions are there for prayer and so on, not touch, nothing, absolutely nothing. Or even all the other institutions of Islamic law, religion. Same thing with Christianity. No churches touch, no Christian institutions touch. And this focus on the Hindu temples began in as far back as 1853 when the British started taking it over, because the temples had become an area of congregation and also in the area of the people exchanging views. And you know, a temple is not just a temple. There are Bharatanatyam dancing, there are marriage halls, there are astrology, kiosks, etc. So, I mean, it's a place for visiting and also praying. So, therefore, the British felt threatened by it. And they began the process of taking over temples, and particularly those which were rich and well-to-do, and, you know, take away their money. So, that process has been continuing. And today, I would say 4 lakh temples all over the country have been taken over. And even though the Constitution of India does not permit arbitrary takeover of temples, and the Supreme Court judgments have, which I'm going to give you details of, Supreme Court judgments have made it very clear that there is no room to take over a temple. The government can do is that if there's financial misappropriation, they can take over the financial system of the temple and rectify it and return it within a certain short period. I had suggested 6 years, and some of the two judges, very, very able judges, they thought, well, this is something that you need to work out with the government. So that process I have not been able to, because no government wants it. And not only that, governments are still continuing to take over temples. And the recent example is that of the Pandharpur, temple, the Krishna Rukmani temple. It's called Vitthal. It's an avatar, I think, of Krishna. But it is Vitthal Rukmani temple, it's called. It's a very, very, very ancient temple. Earlier on in Tamil Nadu, you know that the Sabanayakar Vishnu, the Shiva temple, old, it must be 2,000 years old. And Karunanidhi, when he was out of power, he kept on saying that this temple I will take over and use a cannon to blow it up. He said it publicly. And as soon as he became chief minister in I think in the 2006 or 2007, that period, he began you know, taking steps to take it over. And this went to the priests, who are called Dikshitas. They are actually known as Dikshits in UP, and then they migrated 2,000 years ago to this Tamil Nadu place. And this temple was built by them. So they are called Dikshitas because in Tamil you put R, which means, you know, it's like G. When you say G, you know, when you want to say something, you know, with respect, we say G, you put G in the end. Swami G and Ashok G, and this is, you know, that sort of thing. So they are known as, these priests are known. They are totally devoted. Totally, they are from family. There's no new recruitment. They are all, their families are also trained to become Dikshitas, and they run a beautifully clean temple, and it's a magnificent architecture and so on. So Karunanidhi had made, and he took over. I think it was in 2008 or something like that. And once he took it over, then they began setting up stalls for, you know, meat burgers and pakoras, I mean, masala dosas. And all. I mean, they really started ravishing the temple. That time, these Dikshitas went to the Madras High Court. And there in the first single bench, they lost. Then they went to the double bench, they lost. And then they said, now we are tired. We have lost all of, we finished all our money from the lawyers, and therefore we are going to give up. That time, Dayanand Saraswati was one of the greatest saints we have had in this century. He is now no more. But he contacted me and he said, I'm going to ask you something and you have to do it. Give me that promise. So how can I say I won't give you that promise? So I said, yes. He said, I want you to appear on this in the Supreme Court. I said, how can I appear? I have not a party. I have no interest in this matter. And but they have lost in two levels. I never heard of Supreme Court on, turning deciding against when at the two lower levels of this high court, single judge and double bench, they are all of the same view, they will not interfere and so on. He said, no, you go and I'll pray for you. That's all that he said to me. And lo and behold, I went there and the court immediately recognized my past work in this area, and then they said, no, we'd like to hear you. And so they the judgment was delivered in 2014, and in that, so many people then later on came and attached themselves, no, we want to be heard, we want to be heard. But the judges, Bobde was one of them, and there was another very good judge too. And they, both of them, they said that we will, although there are so many have come, but our judgment will be entirely based on what Dr. Swami has said. They have mentioned my petition number and so on and so forth. So it was a great honor, and we won the case. And they laid down certain rules about when you can take over a temple, and only when you can take over the secular aspects of the temple, namely financial matters, etc. You cannot take over a temple on its religious thing and all. This Pandharpur thing that I'm going to Bombay tomorrow to the High Court to continue the arguments, and I expect to win it, the Maharashtra government, which government? BJP government, Fadnavis government. They took it over. And against everything that is written in our manifesto, I just don't understand. Now, if I were to ask Fadnavis, he'd probably tell me that Modi asked him to do. Same thing in some 124 temples of Uttarakhand. in one blow, the whole, all the 124 were taken over. And I was shocked, no, and I'm sorry to say that neither the Vishwanda Parishad nor RSS, anyone could do anything about it, because the way they have been functioning, they're not in a position to give fatwas to Mr. Modi. So I filed it, and I got the most important part of my thing in a very early stage. That is, the court in Uttarakhand High Court ruled that the tijori, as it's called in Hindi, that is the treasury box, that will be not in the hands of the chief minister as the takeover had decided, the nationalization of these temples, but the money collected, jewels, everything will remain with the temple pujaris and cannot be transferred. So on that, I think Mr. Modi also lost his interest. And so they soon, when I went to the Supreme Court for wiping out the entire takeover, not only on the treasury issue, they withdrew the nationalization law and went to the assembly, got a resolution to quash it. So I won that also. And so I've been winning cases, but unfortunately, no one is implementing what the Supreme Court has already raised on. So I'll come to some specifics on it. But I find everywhere, saying this Pandharpur, I mean, it's a blatant violation of the Supreme Court order. I'll read out to you in the course of my discussion. Blatant by a BJP government. And so they went here, there, poor people didn't know the fine art of going to court. And so they lost. So finally they came to me. Fortunately, I found a way they did not touch. So I could go to the High Court, and the High Court issued notice. And we had two, three sessions already. The government is fumbling because the government cannot justify it in court. So just taking adjournments and so on. But now let's see, tomorrow I might be able to fix a timetable by which the whole thing is decided, and subject to what the judges feel they want to do. So Pandharpur is an extraordinary temple. It's a very ancient temple. As I said, Lord Krishna's avatar, or Lord Krishna in a different name, and Rukmini's temple, that people come from all over the world. The people who live there in Pandharpur, they're that same community, and the same caste people. They are in different states also. And when they come, when they hold a function, my God, people come automatically. Nobody, they all spend money out of their pockets. It's huge. And I've addressed one such meeting recently. So let me begin by saying that in Tamil Nadu is the worst offender of this takeover of the temples. Almost 100%. Of the temples have been taken over, and that means about 48,000. And there are 48 big temples. The only one that got away was that Sabarnayaka temple, which I had gone for, and that what got them freed has to be applied to every temple. And if you apply every temple, you don't have to go to court. It's automatically, they should be free. But they say, no, you go to court. We will not let you come. We will not. And the bureaucracy is totally uncooperative in Tamil Nadu. And therefore, I'll have to do turn by turn. So I'm thinking of some way by which this can be, Tamil Nadu can be dragged. Perhaps I'll have to go to the Supreme Court again. So in Tamil Nadu, although almost 100% of the temples have been taken over, and of course no masjid has been touched, no church has been touched, the Tamil Nadu takeover of temples is 10% of the whole country. And in other countries, in the other states, there are, they've been taken over. Now Maharashtra has also got into this bad habit and started taking over temples. So I want to know, is there a law which prevents the governments from taking over temples, leave alone my court judgments and so on? And there I will like to read the Constitution for you. And the Constitution there's an article called Article 25 of the Constitution. There's also a specialization of that, and that's Article 26, but I'll read out 24. What it says is Article 25 in the Constitution of India, that the headline is freedom of conscience and free profession of practice and propagation of religion. It's a general thing, but I'm applying it for Hindu Dharma. Number one, subject to public order. If there's a public disorder, government can come in in order to make to bring it under control. They can take over the premises for a short time. Subject to public order, morality. If there's been immorality there, then also the government can. Health, and to the other provisions of this part, all persons are equally entitled to freedom of conscience and the right to freely profess, practice, and propagate religion. Nothing in this article shall affect the operation of any existing law, etc., etc. And then it gives an explanation that we make an exception in the case of Sikhs carrying kirpans and so on and so forth. But broadly speaking, what this Article 25 says is that as long as public order, morality, and health is not affected, the Article 25, which is a fundamental right, guarantees all persons equally entitled to freedom of conscience and the right to freely profess, practice, and propagate religion, which cannot be done if it has been taken over by the state. And so this is part one, which is an extremely important section. Article. It's a fundamental right. It's a fundamental right to freely. Nobody can place any obstruction in the way you want to worship. So therefore, the way you want your temple to be built, the way you want your pujas to be done, all this, the state has no thing. But in public order, morality, and health. In the public order, for example, financial mismanagement, there will be public disorder. So you can interfere. But that comes when the Supreme Court, in my case, the famous case, which I'll read out, clearly says that no, you can take over for a short time, and then once it is done, you have to give it back the financial aspect. Every temple has an administrative part, and every temple has a religious part. The religious part you can't touch. It's a society which has to see that priests and so on behave very well, but when it comes to the financial side, because it's public money which is collected, therefore the government can audit if they get information which they will send in as a show cause to the priests and say, show cause why we should not take over the financial thing and clean it up. And they have to reply. And if their reply is satisfactory, then they won't proceed further. So this issue is there. Now, why only temple? Why can't you do it for a mosque also? Why can't you say for public order, azan every morning at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, it blares and wakes up everybody else? Why can't you say that, listen, you can, those who subscribe to your azan, they can hear it through their iPhones and so on and so forth. but why everybody should be, but there's no bar, nothing. So same thing with the during Christmas time with the churches. So this is a thing where we are not equal. I mean, we may be 80, 81, 82% in this country, but we have absolutely no right to administer our religious institutions the way we want it. The state can intervene. And some states like Kerala and all, which are communists, they have actually done. And then DMK, which doesn't believe in God, but they want to sit in the temple and become administrators. This is amazing. You don't believe in God. How can you administer? And that too, whether the pujari should be do it like this way or that way. I mean, you appointment of pujaris are being done by the DMK government, which is outrageous, you see, considering that on top of that, that they are atheists. So this is Article 25. And this Article 25 has to, why I say that you can't take over forever. Article 31A clearly states, notwithstanding anything contained in Article 13 and no law providing for the taking over the management of any property of the by the state shall be will be for a limited period, either in the public interest or in order to secure a proper management of the property. So it makes it very clear that it cannot be for a unlimited period, like the Maharashtra government has taken over not only the administrative part of the temple, but they have taken over the whole temple and they have written on it, it is unlimited forever. The Maharashtra government forever shall administer the Pandharpur temple. So it's very clear there. And this is also a fundamental right, Article 31A, bracket 1, bracket B, that very clearly says that the state can do this kind of rectification of matters of public interest, but for a limited period. So, I come back to this point again, but first let me say that what we want to emphasize is that most of our laws have made certain conditions and which the public has been given a right. Even the IPC, which is got nothing to do with constitutional issues, but it's a law, and therefore as a law, if I were to read out one very interesting thing, see, I mean, you just see the power of this section in the Indian Penal Code. It says in 295 that whoever destroys, damages, defiles any place of worship or any object held sacred by any class of persons. Now, see, this is, in law, these are all the things where you have to be very agile. What does it say? Or any object held sacred by whom? By a class of persons. Not the whole country, but even any class of persons, and if anyone tries to destroy, damage, or defile with the intention thereby to insult the religion of any class of persons, or with the knowledge that any class of person likely to consider just such destruction, damages, defilement, insult to their religion, shall be punishable with imprisonment for 2 years. Rahul Gandhi got 2 years and boom, his parliament seat was taken away. Of course, this is being now appealed against, and perhaps it may have been excessive for defamation cases. But for here, for this public disorder that is concerned, it's a huge thing. So even the law not only the constitution, because constitution, then you will say, how is it going to be implemented? How is it translated into law? So on. But I'm saying even here, you find that the law is very, very clear. And in addition to this, you see, in this 295 of the Indian Penal Code, the phrase is, any object held sacred by whom? Any class of persons, not by government or by the authorities or the police. No. It says any class of persons that it is held sacred. So if I say 500 or 5,000, depending on how the numbers matter, I take a section of the Hindu population and say, I find this offensive that Pandharpur Vithal Rukmani temple has been taken over the Maharashtra government. Find it offensive. Then under the IPC, the chief minister and the secretary, the chief secretary, they all can be prosecuted. Now, of course, nobody does it because the people don't even know the law. So our law has become very, very clear. And that is applied for Muslims and Christians. And Muslims and Christians are very alert. The moment you even touch it, they turn up in courts in big numbers. And then they make a big lot of noise. And we get on the defensive and ill. So I would say that the final word of the Supreme Court is in this case, which I've extracted from the annals of the Supreme Court, which is called SCC, Supreme Court Cases. So SC stands for Supreme Court, and C stands for Cases. And that's an annual, every week there is one thing where all the cases which have been decided come together. It's a very useful thing. In that, if I can show you, Subramaniam Swami versus the state of Tamil Nadu and others. This is the Sabhanayaka judgment, famous Sabhanayaka judgment. And of course, others have also joined in. This happens in India. You do all the research and then you file, and then they will copy whatever research you've done, and then they'll say, we are also partners. But these judges, two judges, B.S. Chauhan and S.A. Bobde. Bobde, of course, became Chief Justice also. And Chauhan, of course, was very, very, very bright. But he retired before that. And what do they say? Just in case, I've never seen this happen before in a court. But they make a comment which is really worth seeing, which says, in paragraph 4, for convenience of addressing the parties, the numerous parties, and deciding their appeals, we have taken civil appeal number 10620 of 2013 of Subramaniam Swami as the leading appeal. The facts and circumstances give rise to appeal as under, etc., and hereinafter is in the existing since times immemorial and had to be administered. So what they're saying is, although many people have filed it, but we are entirely going with the petition filed by Subramaniam Swami. That's a great tribute they have paid. And now I'll tell you what they have said, and then I can hand it over for a discussion. And take it forward. And the right towards the end, they conclude. And this is binding, by the way, on all governments, state governments, municipal governments, everyone. It's binding on everybody. And I would begin by saying, reading the last few paragraphs, paragraph 65. What does it say? Even if the management of a temple is taken over to remedy the evil the management must be handed over to the person concerned immediately after the evil stands remedied. Very clear. Even if it's the management temple has been taken over to remedy an evil, you must hand it over back to the temple, pujaris and all, once you have rectified the evil. Continuation thereafter would tantamount to be usurpation of the proprietary rights of our violation of fundamental rights guaranteed by the constitution in favor of the person deprived. That's the article 31 that I read out to you. And therefore, taking over the management circumstances must be for a limited period. When was Tirupati taken over? It was taken over, Tirumala Tirupati, in the town of Tirupati. It was taken over, it's the richest temple. It was taken over in 1934. And I went to court in 2015, and I won, and the court said, yes, it must be returned. Now, same thing with the Padmanabha Swami temple in Kerala. Now it has been returned to the kingdom, to the rajas and or you call them ex-raja if you want, of Travancore, who are there in Trivandrum. I had argued this matter with our VHS colleague Mohan Das, and we got an order saying that the temples of Kerala should all be returned. Then they raised the question, who should be returned? I said, this Padmanabha Swami temple is the richest temple in India and the richest Hindu temple in the world. So I said, you hand them back to the Raja, the Trivandrum Raja Maharaja, because he built it. So that lineage is there and it should be given to them. So he, Chief Justice said, no, I cannot accept that, because we don't recognize Rajas and Ranis anymore. So how can we give it? I said, but they are the people who built it. They are still as human beings. Their descendants are there. So we went to the Supreme Court, and then suddenly good sense prevailed. And now the Padmanabha Swami temple has been returned, like the Savanayaka temple has been returned. So we have now cases of this happening. Now, I would say that what the laws, as I say, you can take over if there is a financial mismanagement or some administrative gadbad, but for a limited period. And all this must be stated. And if it is unreasonably long period, then you can go to court and get it quashed. So the same thing, suppression of the rights of administration cannot be of a permanent, enduring nature. Its life has to be reasonably fixed so as to be coterminous with the removal of the consequences of maladministration. They are leaving no doubt at all. The reason is that the objective to take over the management and administration is not the removal and replacement of existing administration, but to rectify and stamp out the consequences of maladministration. Power to regulate does not mean power to supersede the administration for an indefinite period. So the Maharashtra government has committed a crime. And I can tomorrow go and file a case as a Hindu against Mr. Fadnavis, saying that you have done this and you deserve to go to your jail. You have how much money you have taken away and all this. We'll need CBI and CAG and all that to investigate. I can fight the Congress. I can fight the DMK. I can fight the communists. But our own people doing this. In Uttarakhand, in Varanasi, where the Prime Minister is getting elected, there all the temples of any value there is owned by the state, is run by the state. And if I give them the judgment, they say, you go to court and get an order. We are not going to obey it. So this is the situation where Hindutva, we talk about Hindutva, all bogus when it comes down to money. And therefore, I think we have to now create a movement. And I certainly think after this coming elections, or maybe before the elections also, because it could be an election issue, we need a movement to say, liberate the temples. If Muslims can have freedom to have their own masjids and waqf board and so on, Christians can have their own churches, why Hindus cannot have their own temples? And this atrocity is being committed by Hindus in their majority. So what I would like to say, therefore, is that the laws are very clear, but the Hindus don't have a backbone. And Hindu parties also don't have a backbone. It's no use getting into petty issues. This is the major issue. All Hindu organizations should, in the state they are there, they should go and tell the chief minister, we'll start an agitation. And in the elections, we'll say anyone who says that he's against government denationalization, we're going to vote against him. So this is the broad picture, where a crime is being committed from the British times, and we have continued it shamelessly, even those who profess to be Hindutva committed people. Over to you, Jack.
Thank you, Dr. Swami. First question.
Dr. Swami, for the benefit of the viewers.
Jagdish, if you don't mind, quickly. Yeah, so Dr. Swami, you had the fundamental case is Sabha Nayagar case. It makes it very clear. It doesn't say this is applicable only for Sabha Nayagar temple. It says any temple can. Why are the governments playing this game, go to the court every time that you want to go and throw them out of the temples? Why is that? Isn't it just by having these EOs or executive officers, specifically Tamil Nadu, since it's the worst offending state, why are these EOs still in the temple? But isn't it a direct violation of the Supreme Court order? Why do we have to go to the court every time? Why can't the court say, in carte blanche, say that this is not, why can't we do, is that, we have to file a separate case for that?
Yes, otherwise courts cannot take notice. It's called contempt of the court. And we have to file a special petition, it will be argued and so on. See, there are two aspects of a problem. I'm glad you raised it, because I forgot to raise one aspect. In Tirupati, the Tirumala, I have quite a lot of, shall I say, goodwill, if not the word, influence is not a good word. I have a lot of goodwill in Andhra. With the establishment there, the chief minister, the chairman of the Devasthanam board of Tirupati and so on. I said, this should not be administered by the government. And they said, have you filed a case in this? I said, I have. And the court has decided. But what the court is telling me is, please tell me who to give it to. Like they said it in Kerala. But in Kerala, I had the
royal family. Royal
family there. Here, the people who created the Tirupati temple in 1933 have all disappeared into splinters. Some Hathiram committee or something, which are, there are multiple Hathiram committees all over. And it's the richest temple. Everybody wants it. So I had suggested to all the sadhus, prominent, Shankaracharyas, etc., please formulate a way by which you take over all the temples. So there was a Hindu Dharma Acharya Sabha founded by Shri Dayanand Saraswati. And I was their principal advisor on law. I mean, I was appointed for that. And I had, of course, the goodwill of Dayanand Saraswati. But I regret to say that when we are reaching a peak of setting up a thing, I said we have Lok Sabha and Rajya Sabha, why not have an Acharya Sabha also? You see, not necessarily part of getting elected and being members, but you know, it's a kind of a Sabha which is recognized by the government. And Dayanand Saraswati was in a position to do it, but unfortunately passed away. Nobody has taken it up since then, because they feel that the moment they take it up, the government will start acting tough with them. People are making money. People of the government, secretaries, ministers, they are making money on these temples. So when you ask him, why don't they give it up? They are making money. Why? I mean, I can't really go and ask the DMK, why don't you get out? They will say, what about what's happening in Maharashtra? What about Karnataka? Karnataka, when we were in power, you know, none of the ministers were ready to support me to bring about change in this. They would not give up the temples, because the temple is patronage now. And so there has to be a people's movement. I don't think now law going to Supreme Court, you've got everything. Supreme Court has laid down the law and they made it the universal law for the whole country. And therefore, what we need to do in perhaps after the next election is to start a Hindu movement saying you return the temples. And for that, with a lot of, and I'm sure that people will start coming, because I have seen when I'm going around the country, people ask, for instance, in Pandharpur, when I came after they had been miserably let down by everybody, they were totally broken, and finally they came to me, like the Savanaikar people also. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'll take it up, but you show me your strength. And my God, there was a function where I was called and honored and so on. Huge. It was, of course, their own religious function, but it was huge. I mean,
it was the Vakri function.
The Vakri. And as a, because I got into it, the confrontation which was created by politicians between the Brahmins, that is the priest and the Vakris, who maintain the temples and so on, that also has been paper. I mean now they're both the Brahmins and the Vakris have come together, so there's a great thing. And once I expect to win the case, once I win the case, because what the Maharashtra government has done is terrible. I mean, I can't believe that their lawyers would say things which they, no person who's got a degree would say. Things which are not there in the law, they were quoting the law. Things which have been deleted, like Article 31 has been deleted, which says that, government can take over property indefinitely. That has been deleted. But still it was being quoted by the advocate for the Maharashtra government. So I think it's no use wailing about it. I think we need a people's movement, and this is something that I think much more than anything else for Hindus, this will have a massive effect, and that's what I would suggest all of us also start propagating.
Jagdish, go ahead.
Dr. Swami, I just want to inform the viewers. That
yes.
Not only have you taken some of the cases which you have mentioned, but you are in the Supreme Court on the case of the Archakas, which is would be an offshoot of the Nataraja temple matter, and it is still pending in the Supreme Court.
Yes.
Madhya Pradesh, the collector is part of the ownership of the temple. Dr. Swami went there to Indore recently, and the entire priest community of all the temples of Madhya Pradesh had a public meeting and said the government should get out. The government of Madhya Pradesh, the chief minister had made an announcement, but his bureaucracy is not allowing him to implement the release of the temples from government control. In the Tirupati temple, perhaps Dr. Swami is the only man who challenged it in court, and he got part relief of a government CAG audit of the Tirupati TTD temple. Many people just talk about it in the WhatsApp university, spread some messages and canards, and then nothing, just make a statement. But Dr. Swami walks his talk and goes to court. That is what I want to highlight to the viewers. There are numerous such cases which are pending in the Supreme Court and various high court, where Dr. Swami on the Hindutva cause has gone to court. Viewers, you will be shocked to know that Devendra Fadnavis, as the Maharashtra CM during his first period between 2014 and 19, took over one more temple, that is the Shani Shignapur temple in Maharashtra. It was brought under government control. BJP in its manifesto and the ideology says that temple should be freed. But here we have examples of temples, fresh temples being taken over. And no protest. I think a people's movement should be started. And as Dr. Swami rightly said, that especially when the temple has to be returned, there should be the acharyas and the local people should come forward to form some type of a trusteeship body to manage the temple by the Hindus themselves. And as Dr. Swami says, I just, for the sake of clarity, wish to make, as far as the Maharashtra Pandharpur temple is concerned, Virat Hindustan Sangam is parallelly working for reforms of how the temple could be managed, because we are very confident Dr. Swami will release this Pandharpur temple from government control. So how this temple will be managed by the Varkaris, that is the worshippers, and the Pujaris, a system or a body is being evolved so that they can take over this temple. The Varkaris will be playing a very prominent role. So these are the reforms that Dr. Swami is talking about, and already a team is working on these reforms. I just wanted this for sake of clarity to inform our viewers. Arvind,
Dr. Swami, ये इतना महत्वपूर्ण विषय है कि पूरे भारतवर्ष के हिंदू आपकी तरफ नज़र उठाकर देख रहे हैं कि हिंदू धर्म के रक्षा के लिए यदि कोई व्यक्ति प्रयास कर रहा है तो जैसे जगदीश ने अभी बताया, एक स्टेट के बाद दूसरी स्टेट, दूसरे स्टेट के बाद तीसरी स्टेट, आपने सारे मुद्दे उठाए हैं। लेकिन हमारे व्यूअर्स को ये भी पता होना चाहिए कि आखिर सरकार का उद्देश्य क्या होता है, अलग अलग राज्य सरकारों का इस विषय में। जब आपने सुप्रीम कोर्ट का, उच्चतम न्यायालय का हवाला दिया और कहा कि उच्चतम न्यायालय के निर्णय के अनुसार जो तिजोरी है, जो खजाना है, वो सरकार को नहीं मिलेगा या सरकार को उसकी एक्सेस नहीं होगी, सरकार उसको नहीं इस्तेमाल कर पाएगी, फिर मोटिव क्या रहता है? आपने ये भी कहा कि अधिकारीगण वहां से पैसा बना रहे हैं और इसलिए अधिकारीगण खुद उनकी रुचि नहीं है कि किसी तरह ये हैंड ओवर किया जाए। तो आखिर ये मूल उद्देश्य उनका क्या है? एक तो प्रशासन हो सकता है, या तिरुपति के मामले में जैसा कहा जाए कि इतना विशाल जनसमूह वहां पर जाता है, उसकी प्रबंधन की आवश्यकता होती है, दूसरे आवश्यकताएं होती हैं, वो शायद एक निजी ट्रस्ट नहीं कर सकता, निजी संस्था नहीं कर सकती, इसलिए सरकार इसको टेक ओवर करती है। दूसरा, जैसा कि सारे लोग आरोप लगाते हैं छुपे हुए, कि सरकार इससे धन मुहैया कराना चाहती है और वो इस्तेमाल करना चाहती
है। सही बात है। पहली तो मैं बता देता हूं कि लोग जगन के बारे, जो चीफ मिनिस्टर हैं, कि वो क्रिश्चियन है, डंडोरा पीटते रहते हैं, परंतु वो तुरंत उसने अपने तिरुपति के लिए अपने सरकारी अधिकार से उन्होंने कह दिया कि उसको सीएजी ऑडिट करेगी। एक ही मंदिर है अब हिंदुस्तान में, वो है तिरुपति, जो सरकार के आदेश पर और मेरे कोर्ट के आदेश से वो सीएजी से ऑडिट करा रहे हैं। और मैं कहता हूं कि सारे टेंपल्स को सीएजी को देना चाहिए, फिर आप देखिए कि दिलचस्पी लोगों का जो है इस मंदिर अपने कब्जे में लाने का जो शौक है वो खत्म हो जाएगी।
एक जो आपने कहा कि एक जनता का मूवमेंट होना चाहिए, जनता का आंदोलन होना चाहिए, लेकिन जनता के आंदोलन के लिए कुछ लोगों ने विचार रखा है, कुछ लोगों ने सुझाव दिया है कि जो भी मंदिर या जो भी इस प्रकार की संस्था सरकार के नियंत्रण में है वहां पे लोग हुंडी देना बंद कर दें, वहां पे डोनेशन देना बंद कर दें। और ये भी जनता के आंदोलन का एक हिस्सा हो सकता है, ताकि जब उस तिजोरी में पैसा नहीं होगा, सरकार उसका दुरुपयोग नहीं कर पाएगी, अधिकारी उसका दोहन नहीं कर पाएंगे, तो शायद उनका उद्देश्य थोड़ा बदल जाए।
हुंडी से तो पुजारियों का पैसा मिलती है, उनकी तनख्वाह वहां से निकलते हैं, तो उसको बंद कर दोगे तो पुजारी लोग, कोई ऐसा और कोई ए, 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 आपकी मूल जो विषय है वो तो मैं सहानुभूति से देखता हूँ, परंतु मैं ये जरूर कहूँगा कि ये देख लीजिए कि हमारी पुजारियों को जितना गरीब डीएमके ने कर दिया है वो हटाना चाहिए। एक ये बहुत बड़ा एक सेवा है जो लोग पुजारी लोग मंदिर को चला करके लोगों को राहत दिलाते हैं जब वो प्रार्थना करने के लिए आते हैं, तो मैं कहता हूँ कि पुजारियों के लिए भी कोई ऐसी व्यवस्था पहले होनी चाहिए जिससे उनका एक स्थायी आमदनी यानी जो इनकम कहते हैं उनको मिले, ताकि और उसके लिए पढ़ाई के लिए कोई कॉलेजेस ऐसे खोलनी चाहिए तो यहाँ से आप डिग्री लोगे तभी आप पुजारी बन सकते हैं, इस प्रकार के करनी चाहिए। पुराने जमाने में होता था, अब नहीं होता, क्योंकि वहाँ गुरुकुल में आसानी से हो जाता था, अब गुरुकुल तो सब खत्म ही हो गए ना, तो इसीलिए
राम जन्मभूमि ट्रस्ट, राम जन्मभूमि निर्माण ट्रस्ट, हजारों करोड़ का यहाँ पे जनता के द्वारा धन इकट्ठा होता है और आएगा जब मंदिर बन जाएगा, जिसका उद्घाटन कहा जा रहा है कि प्रधानमंत्री 24 जनवरी तक कर देंगे। इसका ट्रस्ट भी सरकार ने बनाया है, चाहे उसमें नृपेंद्र मिश्र हो या दूसरे आरएसएस के लोग हों या दूसरे महंत लोग हों, लेकिन वो सरकार के नियंत्रण में है क्योंकि सरकार ने उनकी नियुक्ति की है। तो क्या ये धर्म आचार्य सभा की जो बात कर रहे हैं, क्या ये धर्म आचार्य सभा कभी राम जन्मभूमि निर्माण ट्रस्ट को भी टेक ओवर करेगी?
देखिए, जहां तक ये जो पैसा जो इकट्ठा हुई है इसमें हमारी जो भूतपूर्व प्रिंसिपल सेक्रेटरी थे उनका कोई दोष नहीं है, वो तो सिर्फ निर्माण के लिए है। ये सारा पैसा का जो व्यवस्था है वो तो विश्व परिषद के लोगों में ज़्यादातर उनकी सदस्यता के साथ सरकार ने एक कमेटी बनाई है जो देख रही है, और एटमोस्ट हम कह सकते हैं इसका भी सीएजी का होना चाहिए, कितना पैसा आया, कैसा खर्च हुआ। परंतु मैंने जब मोदी ने विरोध किया कि कोई जल्दबाजी नहीं करनी चाहिए और राम जन्मभूमि को हिंदुओं को नहीं देना चाहिए, उन्होंने एक पिटीशन भी गुरुमूर्ति से तैयार करके उन्होंने पेश किया, और मैं बधाई देता हूँ कि हमारे सुप्रीम कोर्ट के जो चीफ जस्टिस गोगोई थे समय और चार और थे जिसमें बोबड़े भी थे, जो आज के जो चीफ जस्टिस हैं वो भी था, वो भी था उसमें, इन लोगों ने प्रधानमंत्री की को लापरवाही करके उन्होंने अलग रख दिया, उस पिटीशन को ही देखा ही भी नहीं, नज़रअंदाज कर दिया जैसे आप उर्दू में कहते हैं। और तो मैं कहता हूँ कि नियत खराब है हमारे प्रधानमंत्री के इसमें, क्योंकि इसके इनके नियत अच्छा होता है तो ये उत्तराखंड में कैसे करते और महाराष्ट्र में कैसे अलाउ करते। महाराष्ट्र में तो प्राइवेटली सब कहते हैं कि भाई हमें तो प्रधानमंत्री ने कहा ये करना चाहिए, अमित शाह खुद आकर बोल कर गए कि ये कश्मीर ये कृष्णा मंदिर को अपने हाथ में लेना है। तो मैं ये कहता हूँ कि ये हमारी बीमारी हमारे अंदर है, उसको मैं समझता हूँ कि कभी ना कभी जिन जिन लोगों के पास वो शक्ति है इसमें परिवर्तन लाने के लिए करनी चाहिए, और इसको ठीक करना चाहिए। अभी देखते हैं आगे कैसा, अभी तो ये 4 महीने में बहुत कुछ होने वाला है, वो देख लीजिए, उसके बाद हम फैसला करेंगे कि किस प्रकार से हम आंदोलन की रूपरेखा बनाएंगे।
डॉक्टर स्वामी, इन गुजरात समटाइम इन 2012 आई थिंक 2012 व्हेन मोदी वाज द चीफ मिनिस्टर, ही हैज टेकन ओवर अबाउट 28 टेंपल्स इन दैट ईयर अलोन।
ही डिमोलिश्ड
इन हिज ओन स्टेट, ही डिमोलिश्ड एज वेल। Doctor, yeah. Coming to that point, when you mentioned the word demolish, that's exactly where I want. Yeah. One, we are talking today is about takeover of temple. Or, I mean, even though we call it places of worship, essentially it becomes only temple. There are no other places of worship are being taken over.
Yes.
Even during this Varanasi expansion corridor, they have destroyed hundreds of temples under the name of expansion. Sita Rasoi, one of the most famous points, and almost over 280 shivalings have been uprooted. We don't know where they are, what is the status of it, because we always believe prana pratishtha. Even though people have built illegally structures around them, you have to destroy the structure. You cannot touch the prana pratishtha place.
Yes.
So where do the government get this kind of legal authority to destroy temples, leave alone taking over, under the name of development?
There's no authority. It's a administrative fatwa that comes, and you can take it to court and fight it, but who has the energy for that, you see? Because ordinary people of that area, if I were to take it up, they'll say, how did you come into the picture? So I have to go through that process. And then I have so many things, why should I take this? I'm going to fight the prime minister. So I would like somebody else to do it. I'd like some of the Shankaracharyas to do it. They also see, they are also being troubled a lot by income tax and other things. They're being harassed. So I think it needs a people's movement, if you ask me. There's no other way. And a people's movement, Jayaprakash Narayan brought a people's movement, brought up a big change. So I think that kind of thing we need to do.
2024, Dr. Swami, whatever there is going to be payback from the powers beyond us for these kind of destruction of mandirs. Last question before I segue. Dr. Swami, how can we stop the government from misusing temple funds?
Well, I told you, one is to have, auditing not done by any chartered accountant. You put CAGE, number one. Number two, make it available for discussion in parliament, as you do for other budgets also. And then ultimately also do it for Islamic institutions and Christian institutions as well, so that people don't say we are targeting the Hindus only. So therefore, there are machineries plenty. There's no dearth of it. And it's a question of the suggestion coming, and you brought the suggestion. I agree with you that this is something that we can do to plug many of the things that are going on.
Dr. Swami, I just want to add something to Ramesh ji and what you have said. Just as a test case, they say there are 40,000 temples under government control, assuming in Tamil Nadu. Out of this 40,000, Ramesh ji, if 10 temple worshippers would collect, and all the 40,000 temple multiplied by 10, if they came on Marina Beach, we will have a crowd of 4 lakh people to hear Dr. Swami against this act. Our friend like T.R. Ramesh and others who are working on this project, we should all organize. 4 lakh people can come to Marina Beach, no DMK, Anna DMK government, then we'll take Hindus for granted. I'm just giving a small thing. 10 persons from each temple, 40,000 temple, 4 lakh people on Marina Beach, where Dr. Swami can lead, and we can tell the Dravidian parties what Hindutva means in Tamil Nadu. So it is very simple. People have to get organized and come for this cause. There are a lot of people in Tamil Nadu who are fighting on the ground on each temple, getting orders and striking down many things. Many are part of our Virat Hindustan Sangam team or associates. But it is the people who need to get united. This malice is more in South India. especially because of the British colonial laws. But I think in the North India also, in Gujarat also, Madhya Pradesh also, these temples have to be liberated. People's movement can put pressure any type of government, whether it is BJP or Congress, because once they come in government, they don't want to leave these powers. In Maharashtra, the temple heads, their political appointees, they get a cabinet rank post. So that shows the power of that person.
Yes.
So this is the way it is done. In Tamil Nadu, it is worse. Kerala, it is worse. Andhra and Telangana also, it is worse. Karnataka government of Bommai said, we will liberate temples. But if you just do a Google search and see, he called a meeting. The officers misled him and he said it was very difficult. So the people also misled him and threw him out of the government. Over to
Go ahead, Dr. Swami.
Yeah, I would just make one point. We are meeting in 26th and 27th VHS, core committee. So why not we start drafting this, how to do it. And I agree with you, we do it for one state. Tamil Nadu is definitely a very eminently suitable state for us. So we'll discuss that at that meeting in Bangalore when we meet.
Yeah. Before Arvind concludes, Jagdishji, just to answer your question, there are, as you said, people associated with VHS are, aligned with our thoughts and inspired by Dr. Swami. People are taking up their fights in the courts. They're like, for example, T.R. Ramesh or Rangarajan. Very few people are taking. Unfortunately, not to sound fatalistic, people say a lot of things on Twitter saying, I support you. He said, two people come to court for me, just at least you appear with me. Nobody wants to do. But I think this is a good medium. I think, as you said, it is an appeal to the people who watch the show. Please support people like this. They are inspired by Dr. Swami, because the fundamental, the groundwork or the foundation for all their cases is the Sabhanayagar case. Please try to support people who are fighting for the causes of temple. Okay, I mean, it's not easy. Tomorrow, that is our future. The least that we can do for them is to show our support. Nobody's saying, oh, tomorrow you have to open up your wallet and throw money at them. No, just show them a support in some. Don't just sit on Twitter and do things, because they put in a lot of effort at a great amount of risk. Please show them support. That's what I can appeal. Arvindji, you can conclude.
Yeah, before I conclude, just one comment on Ramesh, what you said about Kashi Vishwanath corridor. 286 siblings, which were demolished during the construction. They were thrown here and there, including drains. And when people protested, they went to the court and the authorities. 146 shivlings were recovered. What happened to remaining 140? Nobody knows. 146 shivlings which were recovered, they are kept in the Lanka police station. Lanka is a place near BHU. Lanka police station, and people are regularly worshipping those 140 shivlings which were recovered from drains and other places which the construction authorities had thrown them. They had cut three people trees, which were forming the quadrate of the four people trees on four sides of the temple. Three of them were destroyed. And it was not...
Centuries old, right?
But Akshay Bhatt is in Allahabad. But people were treating them as Akshay Bhatt only. These people trees were worshipped by women of Varanasi, and they were also destroyed. So when we talk about the takeover of temples, we should also talk about the destruction which is taken done by the government in the name of development, which is equally
especially important. The BJP government, especially the BJP government.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
yeah. So Dr.
Before
Swami,
you proceed.
Yeah.
Arvind, before you proceed, I wish to tell our viewers that Dr. Swami has been in the forefront of this new menace of corridors in temple towns. Even the Pandharpur people approached Dr. Swami. In Madhya Pradesh, many people approached Dr. Swami after the Ujjain corridor and the collapse of the corridor during the floods and the rains. People from Kedarnath and Badrinath have been raising this issue. In fact, there's an agitation going on in Badrinath as we talk today on the temple town about the corridor and beautification. And even people in Haridwar and Rishikesh have been approached, Dr. Swami, the priests have approached Dr. Swami on this new menace of doing a corridor. You can understand roads to the town, facilities of toilets, washing place and other things. But on the garb of beautification, you are even demolishing some of the minor and ancient temples within the precinct of the main temple. And that is what is being objected by the Hindus and especially the Tirth Purohits at those places. There are numerous examples all over Maharashtra and India about this thing happening. This is for the benefit of our viewers. And Dr. Swami and his team, legal team, are already working on it, whether it is Vishesh Kanodia, whether it is Satya Sabarwal or a new friend, Mr. Parth, Advocate Parth and others are already working on it. And I hope these people will come forward with some legal options to fight this corridor business. Sorry to have taken up some time, but Arvind...
Jagdish, let me also add, Banke Bihari in Mathura, Banke Bihari temple corridor is also under construction. And same thing, all the priests of Banke Bihari are opposing it openly as they did in Kashi Vishwanath corridor. But the government is not listening in the name of beautification and in the name of development. The same thing may happen, what happened in Kashi. But we should be vigilant and we should raise our voice about it and organize, as Dr. Swami said, public movement is the only solution. There could be many different things such as CAG audit and Sarv Dharma Acharya Sabha, which can construct some kind of a body which can take over once the government gives up or the court forces the government to give up. Thank you, Dr. Swami, for raising this issue. All the Hindus are grateful to you for the fight that you have shown in last so many years of your political career about the cause of Hindutva and the rights of Hindus, which the government is hell-bent on destroying. All the governments have been doing it, more so the BJP government, which has been promising to protect the cause of Hindutva. They have been actually not working to keep their promises. And Dr. Swami, thank you very much on behalf of those Hindu organizations which have been praising you for such things. We wish you good luck for tomorrow's Pandharpur case also when you're appearing in Mumbai High Court. Yes. Thank you, Jagdish. You have been with Dr. Swami in this fight and you have been in forefront along with T.R. Ramesh and others. And Ramesh Swami, this is a big team. You said about lawyers. There's a big team of supporters. Let's wish them all huge success and working for the cause of Hindutva. Thank you very much. Thanks the technical team led by Ashish Shetty, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Swaminathan, Tejas Nabalgul, Vishal Mehta, Ajesh Nair for having organized this program and 208th episode so far. We have been going from success to success in terms of our viewership. Thank you, viewers, for supporting it. We will be meeting again on 27th of August, next Sunday, 8 p.m. Indian Standard Time with Dr. Subramanian Swami and another topic. Till then, Namaskar, Jai Hind.
Jai Hind.
Before we end, I just wish to make a correction. The next Sunday program on 27th of August will not be held because we are in a meeting of the Virat Hindustan Core Committee. So next Sunday, 20th meeting, I mean, our program, Gyan Ganga, Words of Wisdom.
Third of August.
We will be thank you. That is, I just,
yeah.
After Arvind
said it. Thank you.
Thank you.
So 3rd of September will meet. Till then, Namaskar, Jai Hind.
Jai Hind.